Oh, so I have, how about I start this? Adam, how many papers have we received of the qualitative report since 2007?
4,100.
Wow.
How about I start with that? Okay. I'll say, do you know that since 2007, we've received over 4,100 papers at the qualitative report?
Wow.
And I'd say out of those, 4,099 needed some help.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
No wonder we're tired.
Yeah.
I told her, no wonder my eyes are killing me.
Yeah. Do you know how many weekends that took up?
The hours of sheer enjoyment. Is that what you're talking about? The
Friday night,
satisfaction that we take. We're
Sunday.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, I was looking at the other day, I was telling Paula about December. So the first four papers we published in December, Nepal, Denmark, Jordan, and Sweden.
Hmm.
Next four papers are Bangladesh, Indonesia, New York State, then Iran, Sweden, Spain, Germany, Hungary, Slovakia, and Israel.
Yeah.
So of those 4,100 papers, they come from all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But what seems to be in common is that there are challenges that all authors seem to face when it comes to reporting their qualitative research. And we thought today we might share some of our insights, what we do as editors and the things that we see and the suggestions we make. And maybe we'll start with the opening elements of the papers we receive.
I think that's a good idea.
I think the more papers we get from outside of North America, you know, we kind of start to see, you know, the influence of certain traditions. People grow up in education to kind of know that this is what should go into a qualitative study or any kind of an academic or research report. And other cultures may not have those same traditions. So I think the more we get from outside of North America, we start to see that there's some assumptions that we've maybe made about what a paper should include that's not shared with all the authors that we get papers from. And it may not be that they don't have those abilities to write those abstracts that way or to include keywords or biographical information about the authors, but it's just that they have traditions maybe that haven't emphasized that. So we become kind of the notifiers of, can you add these sorts of things? And it doesn't mean the paper is deficient. It means that the format has just, you know, we have to kind of work to kind of bring it in compliance with what our expectations are of what a report should include. You know, those basic things are not necessarily basic to all our writers who come from all over the world.
Yeah, I would say lately I've seen quite a few papers come in that are written more in that traditional scientific fashion and organized with those same headings, and even the very beginning is like the abstract has those headings in it, and we don't usually do that. So
right.
You're right. So we have a different tradition that we've been establishing.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Foucault sometimes, that it's sort of an archaeological experience as you kind of dust away of where did these customs come from? Where do these ways, the style, what's customary, what they're used, you know, what they're used to? I mean, other journals, other papers that they've read. I mean, we use the American Psychological Association style manual, which kind of like what you're saying, Dan, that it has its own. You know, want to make psychology as scientific as biology, you know, and so the way things are reported there may or may not fit that well with what we think are more better practices with qualitative research. And I think one of the things that happens, and maybe it's kind of the tyranny of paper pages, even though most journals are electronic now, is the idea of brevity. Get it in this many words and this. You know, when you look at the title of a qualitative report, you know, of a report of a research paper, you know, I think, okay, you know, I want to see who you studied or what you studied. Is there some particular aspect that you focused on? And then maybe something about the methodological lens that you use. Those three elements, mm-hmm. Maybe take three or four words per, And you're right up against the limit of the APA. So I think we're a bit more lenient that way. We don't want, although some of the recent papers we've gotten, the titles seem longer than the abstracts. They're very long, and you really worry when you don't see a real good focus in the title and a really good focus in the abstract. I really worry what the rest of the paper is going to be like.
I appreciate that, like a creative phrase. Maybe it came from a participant or something like that, quote, in the title, but it does have to be, I think, brief. And I like the idea of the other things that you're saying, Ron. Usually the method is very helpful to know right from the get-go. And in the title and in the keywords, that helps immensely to know how an author has organized their work and their study. So I find those pretty important. And then I hold those because then I have an image. For example, if it's phenomenology, you know, I'm looking for certain things related to phenomenology or that demonstrate that it's phenomenological.
This may be a hangover from the scientific writing too, is that you don't have to really kind of go into much detail about what you did. You name it. I did a chi-square, I did an F-test, or I did t-tests, or there's kind of just a description of the statistical processes, and then you get to the findings. But in a qualitative study, just to say something is a phenomenological study and then go right into the results, you know, it misses a piece for us. You know, we need to kind of open up the black box, talk a little bit about how that methodology was executed in your study. And in the abstract, sometimes they may not even mention the methodology, or it's just a very brief comment. And then when I go look in the paper, maybe there's nothing more than what was in the abstract. And that just doesn't cut it, you know, when it comes to the qualitative report articles that we're looking for.
Agreed about the transparency of it all and the fullness. But in the beginning, don't you like to kind of be able to organize yourself to kind of know how the authors have organized the study and are presenting that? So even if it doesn't have a fancy name, if it just has a homemade name, I'm okay with that, but I need that to organize myself to read the report.
Well, yeah, I get locked in that way that I'm trying to honor and understand what the authors tried to report. So I don't want to kind of like a bracketing. I want to bracket away, and I want to just, I guess, the approche. I want to just see what's in front of me, and what I want to see in front of me is as clear and as transparent what they did in their study. So I'd kind of look at the title is not a sentence, but it has those key elements that I expect to roll into the abstract and discuss in a little bit greater detail. Although sometimes you'll see where they take like five sentences to get you to the, so therefore, you know, I want to get right into what this study is about, and then the methodology that they used, and then their findings, and then maybe something about their discussion. And then I could kind of check my math, if I've got it right, to see the same words in the keywords that I see in the title and the abstract. And so what gets me kind of nervous is when people get using too many synonyms, or they'll use a very specific term, like say, grounded theory. Okay. And then they'll say, this is a phenomenological study. Well, now I'm confused. And then they say, it's a qualitative study. Okay, well, all those might be true, but what is the one that's most specific? Those are things you probably had to think through as an author. But when you're coming down to make your final report on your study, you should have figured those things out. And so if you say it's a qualitative study in the title, yet in the abstract and the keyword, you say it's grounded theory. Well, I understand grounded theory can be qualitative and quantitative, but most likely, if you did a grounded theory, stick with it. Mm-hmm. And then that obviously organizes for the rest of the paper. But yeah, I get nervous with phenomenological too. So do you mean that that's just the way philosophically you understand a sense of reality and knowing? Or did you follow Moustakas's type of phenomenological work? That's where I get kind of confused. And so then I'm really uncertain as I'm reading, because I should have all my answers when I finish those first three elements of what I'm going to find in the rest of the paper. And then sometimes it's like, surprise, no, that's not what we're doing.
I agree. And so going back to the title, I found myself commenting that could we look at your title again? Or because I see the title as an invitation to the reader and a promise to the reader. So I'm inviting you into a project or into coming to learn about, and I'm doing it in this way. So it's, I see it as those two things combined in this little phrase at the top of the article.
Right. And we're very trusting. We trust that they did a great study, and they interest us in it. And then it's so disappointing when, you know, you get into the body of the paper, and it's like that old, I'm updating myself now, but the comedy group from England, Monty Python, they had one of theirs was called Enough for Something Completely Different. Now that may be good for a weird juxtaposition for humor. Mel Brooks used to say, it's all about juxtaposition, juxtaposition. That's not good in a paper. There should be more of a flow in the paper. It's like you say, this is what I promise, or, you know, this is what I'm going to tell you. And this, then I'm going to tell you, and this is what I told you. And maybe the complexity of all these elements, you've got to have a title and an abstract, different than when you learn how to write a 5-paragraph paper back in middle school or something like that. Maybe, like you say, Dan, that it kind of defamiliarizes it, kind of makes it look a bit strange, but it's really no different than that kind of reporting.
I think I want to pick up on something you said, Ron, about how we assume when people submit papers, we assume that the study was a good one. I mean, we start from assumption that the project was worthwhile, it was done well, it's valuable, it's worth sharing. So we that's an assumption, but we make that assumption. So when we look at the title, the abstract, the keywords, the different aspects of the paper, it's not like we're challenging the authors about what they did. We're just wanting to make more clear and more precise and more readable what their study did. I mean, this is a report about their study. So we're not trying to remake it. We're not trying to kind of have it become something it wasn't, but we want to make sure that it clearly presents itself in a way that is shareable and other people can see the value in it. I think sometimes our comments may seem confrontive or challenging, but we're not challenging the study. We're encouraging the author to better represent what they did in a way that could be shared with others.
And I think that representation is a balance. And so this is what I think I find myself asking for and commenting on is, like, for example, in the keywords, if they're all topical and content related and nothing is process or research related, then I will comment on that and say, this all seems to be centered on your topical content. What's equally important and necessary and builds reader confidence is that we learn about the processes that you used to learn more about this content. So I think maybe that's what we're trying to achieve. Maybe I need to say it that way, that we're looking for more of a balance of the what and the how.
Yeah, you know, when you were saying about the key words, I'm going to use a statistical term for a second. And I think so we'll get some authors that give us 2 keywords and some authors give us many more than that. And APA, I think, what says like 4 or 5, I think that they're looking at. I mean, and so in statistics, when you're doing an instrument and you measure the same variable, the same over and over, and it looks like there's a lot more of it, but it really you're measuring the same thing twice, 3 times, a multicollinearity. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it, when you think about it, those key words, we should apply the same principle. You know, so you say grounded theory and qualitative research, well, really one might be sufficient because they're both describing your methodology. And so I've never thought about that. So I know APA probably says that, but we'll get, especially when it comes to like defining the terms And we'll get, and when you see so many keywords that are about mothers, divorced mother, all this kind of stuff, guarantee you, up in the abstract, they're going to take most of their abstract describing their population. Mm-hmm. Rather than, well, get to the end. Who did you end up talking with? Who did you end up observing? Maybe mm-hmm. it took a while to get there to that point. And I think what we have to, I guess, let the listeners know is that this may sound very strange to you if you've only sent papers to journals where they're more about their rejection rate. And their reviews are more like someone who saw a movie and said, the plot could have been improved. I really didn't like the characters, the pacing. Our stance is more developmental. And the idea that we feel that the authors have produced the best report that they can, and that we would like to help them make their report even better. And so we're more prescriptive. And so we won't just say, your abstract needs improvement. Okay, well, that's not very helpful. What do we mean by improvement? And we try to share our reading experience, that we found this section confusing. We thought you were talking about this, but here this seems to be different. Mm-hmm. And see, there's a bit of hedging in our notes. We may be wrong. Maybe we totally, although if the reader kit doesn't get it, it needs to be improved. It doesn't matter whatever the authors were thinking, whatever was in their mind has to be in the paper. So we try to get into a conversation with the notes we put in the document to try to bring these things out, because we think the authors already know this. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to bring that out to help us. And probably the word besides please, a lot of our comments are clearer, clearer, mm-hmm. clearer, not understanding to us. And so we'll say, a title maybe has these. So we don't get in the habit of trying to rewrite stuff for them, mm-hmm. because then we're starting to write the paper. But we try to give them examples, and maybe why don't you look at this paper and look at that? Because we have no idea what they've used as their model. We have no idea what they've looked at that they're trying to, take their study and put it into some form. APA has a form, whatever else they've read is a form. A lot of people start out by getting a paper that they really love and breaking the pieces down. But like you're saying earlier, maybe it was a bit more scientific than how people typically report qualitative research. Mm-hmm. So I just want to let people know that this is the kind of guidance we put into our reviews. Mm-hmm. So it's just not thumbs up and give you 5 stars. We talk about areas where we feel there could be improvement as we work our way through the papers.
So when I read the entire paper, but certainly the abstract, is I try to just give them my impression as an interested reader. So if I have a question about something, I would guess that their readers will one day have too. So this is a chance to respond to some reader issues right now. So you can kind of fix some things now and not confuse readers later. So I'm their first reader, in a sense, maybe the person who is going to I'm the canary in the coal mine who kind of like highlights there's something here that could use your work. I think this is, if authors see this as writing aids, if this is taken as constructive, helpful information rather than being critical or being negative in some way, if they see it as a chance to reform something to make it better for their subsequent readers, then I think we have a great relationship. But if they see this as kind of something that's standing in their way, or if maybe they're under pressure to publish, we run into this sometimes too. People submit papers and they're in a hurry. They've got a promotion coming up, or there's something that's urgent. And so they want to kind of rush through it. But I think we're not trying to deliberately slow the process down, but we're really wanting to make sure that certain things get brought up to them with a chance for them to make it better. And that's kind of our attitude. I also tell them that the readers at TQR, going back to your balance question, they're as interested in the method by which you got your findings as they are the findings. And so papers that are weighted heavily in terms of this is what we found out, this is the recommendations, is a little bit off the mark, I think. We need to, don't want to downplay the findings, but we want to also highlight the ways in which you got your data, transformed your data to come up with those findings. That adds to the trustworthiness of the whole project. But if you don't kind of describe how you transform the data, your reader might suspicion that you already had these findings in mind and that this is just a confirmation of what you already knew. And rather than it's kind of an exploratory study that adds something new.
So I was thinking that some of our advice, I think this is on the website and stuff, and all of our comments that we use for Ready Review and all of our recommendations to prospective authors is all in the public parts of the website, is I would really recommend that authors go back and look at those, because though we do use those and we use those pretty consistently, for example, what we call Ready Review, and that's just because those are, you know, ones we've repeated over time. And so and they're pretty useful. But then the other parts, like to go back to what you were saying, Ron and Dan, about making it personal as well. This is the effect on me as a reader. This is what's going through my mind at this time. This is what I'm curious about. This is, I've often put comments about this is the effect on me as the reader. I have a sense that the learning piece was left out. It's just because it's not stated. And I don't know how you got there or if you held that idea to begin with. And so it's that sense of that, the tenor of this is about learning. This is about putting something together to learn and to find out something we didn't know. That tone, that emphasis, that's one that I found that I've had to add pretty regularly.
But we know how when you write something like an article, research project, you get so close to it, you spend so much time in it, you know, it's kind of like breathing your own air. It's just after a while, you can't really see very clearly because you're so immersed in it. So I think our reviews, our first reviews, are really a breath of fresh air, a chance to kind of let their paper float out there to somebody who doesn't know about their study, maybe is not even from their field, to kind of give them some real quality and kind feedback so that they can kind of see where they're at in the process of composing this paper. I think it could be, you know, a real refreshing moment to kind of let your ideas float out there to an editor, and then see what they say. What is that they notice? Is it what you meant to be writing? Are they getting the idea that you wanted to get across?
So back to, we kind of jump around from the beginning to kind of the whole, and then back to the beginning. But that beginning is a first impression, and we know when we meet people, and meet new ideas, we have first impressions, and so this is a first impression, and we'd like that first impression to be really positive and impressive.
When I read the paper, the first thing I read is the title. The second thing I read is the abstract. And the third thing I read is the keywords. So that's my intro. This is where I'm dipping into this paper. So it really needs to kind of be solid, clear, enticing, direct. I kind of have to have a sense of it. So the first page of what you've written in an article is crucial for even us as editors. That's our intro to your study.
Yeah, I've never read a paper where I had a bad experience with those first three elements and the paper was so much better. I've never had that experience. And it's a bit, you know, like you say, it's been a bit of a first impression. But yeah, when you start going like, I don't quite know what they're doing, and I don't mean this, that someone is English is not their first language. This happens around the world. I guess that's one of the good things, is that sometimes you'll see commonalities like, how long will this take? Well, boy, time is the most important factor. Quality is going to suffer. But that it is those challenge of those three elements and getting in there and kind of saying that. So what I'm looking for, and I guess maybe where all our comments come from, is that the our journal's a little bit different because it's kind of transdisciplinary. We get papers that are business and mm-hmm. education and psychology and anthropology and medicine and health, all over the place that we'll get that. And I hope that at the end, and I hope it's then not my expectations are too lofty or too different. I hope that when we produce this paper together, what I hope is that whether you're just reading papers to learn how to report a qualitative study, you know, the kind of mechanical things we're talking about and the elegance of presenting the self of the researcher and explaining those steps where I chose this method because it fit my question and here's how I carried it out and the findings. So just the process. I like our papers to be great examples that regardless of the class that you're teaching or regardless of your discipline or your profession, you can read about how to report a qualitative research study. But then I hope if they've done a really great job about presenting interesting people's stories, that it will be an interesting read. And yes, if you're going to cite that paper in your own, you know, in your own study of experience of mothers of divorce and so forth, that it would be part of the canon, part of the literature. But I hope at the end of the day that if our reader response is, wow, this is a great story, you let their voices come through. Qualitative research, to me, always has an emotional quality. When someone is sharing their deepest, you know, most important experiences, I find that compelling. Mm-hmm. And that we always try to let the author let that shine through with that. So that's what I hope, that regardless of whether, so on one end, if you're a super qualitative research nerd and you really want to learn how to report, I think any of our papers will be good for that. But then I think it's also a good read. And again, that you'd want to happen upon the paper. Maybe you were looking for how to report interpretative phenomenological analysis, and the paper's great. But you get caught up in the story about the lived experiences of these people and how the author interpreted them. I think that that makes, to me, the best outcome. And hopefully the authors are as interested in that outcome as they are to just get a paper published.
You know, one of the things that even in the abstract, I start to notice some ways that the writers are writing. So they say, this research does this, or the researchers did this. You know, it's kind of like impersonal. It feels, well, obviously the research can't in and of itself do anything. And to refer to yourself as the writer, as the researchers or the authors, it kind of, I'm leaning toward wanting to have more first person. I want them to say our research or my research, you know, which I think fits within the qualitative tradition. But the third person referring to the authors or the study seems to be, again, a throwback to the scientific way of doing things. Well, it's
pretty strong tradition.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So I guess the takeaway is that we make the reporting of qualitative research and the reviewing of it very personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea that we like the person of the researcher to come through, the reporter of the study, the personable who is in the study. And then we as editors and reviewers to share about who we are, and we introduce ourselves in our reviews. We don't do a blind review. All of our reviewers, all our editors identify who they are and talk a lot about themselves as they try to contextualize or try to give some background as to where we're coming from. Maybe it's just like when I read this paragraph, or to refer to a tradition where we're working with, and that to try to make our comments not just coming out of the blue, or the idea that they're grounded in. And I think maybe this personal aspect of it is, you know, the kind of intensity that we're looking for as authors. We try to bring that same intensity as editors and reviewers.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because we're not neutral either. I mean, we each have our own things we're looking for, and we're just trying to add to the mix, you know, of what the authors are doing. We're not speaking from the mountaintop like we're the authorities, but we are interested readers who are trying to give genuine feedback to kind of improve the reporting.
Well, and through that process, we really come to know, I feel like I've come to know my authors. I mean, I'd have never met them face to face, sometimes on Zoom, and sometimes at the conference, but it's so cool to meet them personally, because I feel like I know them.
The way they wrote.
And I think they feel like they knew me too.
Right.
So.
Well, that's a common practice that in their author notes, they'll, you know, personally thank their editor. And through that process, I think that that's part of what we hope to accomplish, that it's that kind of, And I guess that's what we try to be, even though we're therapists by trade too, we're also qualitative researchers. And so the notion that we try to be curious, we don't assume what we're doing. We're trying to learn from the author through this dialogue. Mm-hmm. And we are subjective and we do acknowledge that. But I guess maybe our papers are intersubjectivity. We use one of those fancy words that way of trying to learn that. So so I hope people got something out of our conversation today. This will be a series of us we'll be doing throughout the podcast is to share a little bit more. As you know, we focused on the opening elements of a qualitative report, but in subsequent conversations, we're going to delve into a little bit more of the other elements of the papers.